Support for WSJ Podcasts comes from Facebook. 3 months from now, 45% of the small businesses we love may not survive. Like the Russian and Turkish baths in New York's East Village. It's a place full of characters, young and old. Some that could have been written by Dostoevsky. It's where you can eat Siberian dumplings and get whacked with oak leaves. It's where buying small means buying into something much bigger. If you need help or can offer it, visit facebook.com/supportsmallbusiness. This message is brought to you by Facebook.
Here's your money briefing for Friday, August 28th. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal. The pandemic has left millions of Americans out of work and struggling to pay the bills. But for those at or near retirement age, part of the baby boomer generation, the impact is especially hard.
You know, you also have parents who really don't want to burden their kids still. You know, they really don't want to have to call the kids and say, I need your help, because they just don't want to put that pressure on them.
Coming up, our reporter Claire Ansbury will explain why the impact is so severe for baby boomers and what they're doing to make ends meet. That's after the break.
Support for WSJ Podcasts comes from Facebook. 3 months from now, 45% of the small businesses we love may not survive. Places like Cape and Cowl in Oakland, California. It's where locals let their geek flags fly, where everyone feels part of the club, and where the community is served through charities, food drives, and events that bring people together. It's proof that when you buy small, you buy into something bigger. If you need help or can offer it, visit facebook.com/supportsmallbusiness. This message is brought to you by Facebook.
As a result of the pandemic, many of America's roughly 75 million baby boomers have found themselves living on a shoestring budget. Their uphill climb to some sort of economic stability is much steeper than for other age groups. Our reporter, Claire Ansbury, has been talking to boomers about this issue, and she joins us to discuss. So first off, Claire, why is the impact on the baby boomer generation particularly severe?
That generation, you know, at their age, it's going to be harder for them to find another job once the economy comes back. You know, people are 58, 59, and, you know, they feel like not many people are going to hire them. It's also an age group that is more vulnerable to COVID. So there's a little more anxiety about going back to work if they could and having higher exposure. And the economy is just not great for anybody in terms of jobs. And, you know, they just don't know if they're going to be called back. They don't want to start all over and start something. No, it's a little difficult. More than half of the people who are older work at jobs that aren't done remotely. It's something like 55%. So it's not an automatic for them at all.
Now, a lot of baby boomers are on fixed incomes. Where are they finding spending to cut?
Some of these guys aren't eligible yet for Social Security or Medicare. So what they're doing is some really basic monthly budgeting, taking all their income and expenses, charting it, assigning dollars for categories like food, transportation, utilities, and seeing where there's some fat. And it's little things. It's, you know, getting rid of the gym membership. It's, you know, some of them, if they can restructure debt. Subscriptions are going. Some people have examined their life insurance policies and thought, you know what, I have more than I need, so I can cut that coverage and reduce my expenses. In the more extreme cases, people are moving to locations, maybe not a new state or new city, but maybe a neighboring community where property taxes are lower.
Now, it's been well documented that Americans do not have enough put away in savings, but the pandemic has sort of become, you know, an exercise in planning for the future.
It has. Something like less than half of working Americans over the age of 60 don't feel that their retirement savings are on track. And 13% have no retirement savings at all. It's something like the median savings of baby boomers stands at $144,000. And that's less than half of the $324,000 that researchers feel is needed to retire comfortably at 60. So, there's a large chunk of people who don't feel comfortable and secure about retiring. So yes, it is a lesson to save early, but there are also people, of a couple who started in their 20s meeting with financial advisors. They're not by any means rich. They come from a family and their parents were big savers, and they always taught their kids save, save, save. And this couple did that. They always put money aside. They, you know, live in Minnesota. The outdoors is important to them. So they invested in small properties like mobile homes and fixed them up and sold them. And what they really did was they used a lot of their savings to buy up these properties, update them, turn them over, get something nicer. And, you know, so they weren't like being extravagant. They were investing in property. They had planned to retire and move to those places. But right now, they have a mortgage on a house in Florida. They were hoping to sell off their family home and pay off that mortgage, but the market's bad. So they are just living on unemployment and hoping that maybe they can get called back to work.
And people are probably looking at retirement funds as an emergency resource. What do financial advisors and experts say about that?
They say, don't use those. You know, the retirement funds should never be perceived as an emergency resource. The concern is, and some people are doing that. They really have no choice, but they don't think it's a great idea. You know, if so, then what happens when those funds are depleted and retirement is around the corner? People who are blessed with longevity, those funds can run out. Everybody recommends an emergency nest egg, and that would be what you need to live on for 6 months and keep it in a savings account that's liquid and accessible when needed. But for the most part, they're saying ideally people should work, if possible, to the retirement age, 65 or 67, not draw Social Security early. If you can get any sort of part-time work, whether it's consulting, somebody said, you know, you can maybe work for Instacart, just anywhere where you could get a little bit of income to bridge you, you know, until the economy comes back, and maybe it'll open. You may have to consider doing something different than you did before and getting paid less. You know, it's going to require change. One guy that I talked to said, you know, this pandemic has made it permissible to change. He said, you know, a year ago, if a 74-year-old said, I'm going to have a roommate or a housemate, people would look and say, why are you doing that? And he said, now they say, it's a great idea. How are you doing it? So things that were sketchy or a sign of failure a year ago are now okay.
And, you know, I guess in any other economic scenario like this, the baby boomer generation and people at retirement age, they might look to other age groups in their family for some financial support. But there's trouble going on for nearly every age group these days.
Yeah, there really is. You know, one guy was saying, sharing. People can share things now. He, for example, his kids moved in with him. Nobody looks at it as a permanent thing, he said. But in the meantime, we're sharing expenses. We're sharing the grocery bill. We're sharing the utility bill. So, yes, and so a lot of people are in a bind. And, you know, you also have parents who really don't want to burden their kids still. You know, they really don't want to have to call the kids and say, I need your help, because they just don't want to put that pressure on them.
Now, this pandemic is certainly not going to be the last economic crisis that we face. And, you know, for people who won't be in their 50s for several decades, this is probably a good opportunity to, you know, learn and save.
A lot of these people were caught in the recession of 2008 and 2009. And, you know, some of them feel like they were just getting on track. And, the market has recovered. But it's for all of them, it's just been yet another sign and, another example that you really have to plan for the unexpected. So many people expect things to keep on going. And, you know, the unexpected could be a pandemic. I mean, who would have thought? But illness, a recession in a particular industry. So I think the best advice is to regularly save and put that budget savings. You know, one woman was saying, you know, a lot of people just spend, and if they have any money left over, they'll put it into savings or they'll pay off a debt. That should be like one of the first things that they do, is allocate money for savings. That's especially true for people who don't work for companies where there's an automatic deduction. That's a wonderful thing, but not everybody has those jobs.
All right, that's Wall Street Journal reporter Claire Ansbury. Claire, thanks for coming on the show.
Sure thing. Thank you.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen for the Wall Street Journal.